Dean Alcoholic?
Hi, Dean.
Whew, man, you guys set the bar pretty high. Thank you so much. I have done the work as it's laid out with the help of a Big Book Step Study sponsor. I find that very important to say. I got to Big Book at 20 years sober. And if it wasn't available and I had not found it, I don't think I'd be sober today. Have been participating for 6 years now and continue to learn more about myself and others through 10, 11, and 12. Have settled those family issues that were happening before and at the present time when I got into Big Book. And I take to heart many things that are in our book. That there's a difference between a problem drinker and a real alcoholic. My alcoholism is not restricted to just alcohol. I'm one of those who I really don't care what label is on the bottle. It's more about why am I opening that bottle, whatever's in it. And I use a lot of those bottles, man. So alcoholism runs really deep in my family. As I look back, it's pretty pockmarked. It's normal to look back now and see why I grew up in the dysfunction that I grew up in, and why once I got out of high school, I was 18 and I left home, why was it that now I'm starting to have trouble? Because growing up in that dysfunction that I now realize was normal to me. You know, and it has continued in my family. Substantial prison terms for many of my nieces and nephews. DCF controls a lot of their children. A lot of grandparents are raising grandchildren. And it is because of the dysfunction, and I believe caused by alcoholism, that's the reason for that, untreated alcoholism, let's say. So, I left home when I was 18. I thought at that time, I'd been drinking for 4 or 5 years at that point, and had come to really, really like it. I loved that buzz, because it was the thing that gave me that sense of ease and comfort that we talk about, that I hadn't had since I got into high school. All of my buddies, every one of them, and a lot of the women, a lot of the girls at that time, man, we're 14, we're freshmen in high school, and everybody kept growing, except me. You know, puberty hit, and I mean, boy, the hormones are running wild, and the girls are looking good, but they ain't looking at me. And I quit playing sports about that time because it just got too painful. And I thought that my size was probably the worst thing that could happen to a guy like me. So, I get out of high school and I learned that my size could be an asset. And I started going to the racetracks where my size was a huge asset. I was pretty athletic, so it led to a career that was actually pretty exciting, very fulfilling, profitable, allowed me to stay really loaded for a really long time. women were one of the perks that came along with the job. My size didn't seem to matter as long as my bank account was larger than I was. And, you know, these women at the time when you go to any major racetrack, that after the races, when the jocks leave the jocks room, and we're kind of going our separate ways, and everybody's driving a nice car, and everybody's pretty well off financially. And, you know, we're going to the clubs in these big cities, and these women know that, you know. These guys got money. They're wanting a party. They want to have fun. Let's go, you know. And we were willing to let them. So, I mean, it's an illusion, but, I mean, it was happening, and I was really enjoying it. And so I got introduced to cocaine at my first major racetrack and thought that it was a cure for everything. I was getting to a point where I wasn't little enough. I was having trouble with my weight, and boy, cocaine really works well on hunger. You know, I wasn't hungry. I was a lot more handsome than I was before, you know. I was a hell of a lot more funny. You know, I could dance all night, you know. And so I found out that God does have a sense of humor, and that cocaine is his way of telling you you have way too much money. And so I proceeded to give it away. And now, you know, when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous in 92, and I've been sober since then, this time, but not my first stint. But there's this idea that we're separate. When I came in, if you mentioned any kind of other chemicals in Alcoholics Anonymous, oh, they'd just ream your ass. And you know, I was pretty defiant, and I'd just jump right back in there and cause for some pretty ugly scenes. It's not that much so anymore. We're starting to find out that alcoholism, drug addiction, whatever we're using, food, relationships, whatever we're using to escape reality is there's a problem. And our book talks about that these 12 steps will help with just about anything that you're having a problem with. There's a solution. It's my experience is that I'm pretty happy that these other chemicals, they're a hammer over my head. That if I don't do what I need to do to treat my alcoholism, that shit's always waiting for me. It really is. And I found that out at 20 years sober. So I was going to a lot of meetings, and I would leave those meetings more pissed off than when I got there, 20 years sober. There was a lot of financial problems. I'd retired from the racetrack and had gotten married, had a son, started a business. I have a little farm in Ocala where I raise thoroughbreds and sell them back to the people that train them and own them. My son was 14. His hormones were raging. His mom and I had been divorced since he was one, and she could really use this program. Just, you know, I'm going to leave it at that. Loving and tolerant. But he was really getting aggressive, and we were the same size at this point. You know, he didn't have my problem being small. So I didn't know what was going on. He seemed really angry, and just really belligerent, and I just thought it was, you know, puberty. And I didn't know what to do, so I asked him to go to counseling with me. And I didn't send him to counseling, I went with him. And, you know, this woman was pretty good. And what I found out was happening was his mom was telling my son everything that she thought had happened the last couple of years that we were married. And I'm not going to say that she was wrong, but I will say that I had a different view of what had happened. And I certainly didn't find the need to give him my version. And so that was a problem. But I was able to sit on that couch and have a conversation with him and tell him how I saw it without throwing his mom under the bus. That was pretty hard to do. I wouldn't have these skills if it wasn't for being sober and learning to ask for help. That was a huge issue for me. And I don't think any of us are any different there. This ability to ask for help, or necessity to ask for help, is where it all starts. Because otherwise, I'm still trying to do it on my own. Thank you. And so as I'm going through this, this is about 08 and the financial collapse that I'm sure a lot of us participated in was happening. And you know, my debt was growing and my success wasn't. And, you know, my mom was my business partner, and she was the booklet, you know, she did the books, and her eyesight was going, so we were getting backed up. And man, there was just a lot going on, and I was going to lots and lots of AA meetings and becoming more and more angry. And I was not getting what I needed to go from where I was to where I needed to be. And fortunately, a guy that I sponsored came into Big Book Step Study. Probably because I was sponsoring him. You know, he certainly didn't have any more than I had to offer. And he got a sponsor in Big Book Step Study, and I saw his life changing. So I followed him in here when I got to that point. And, you know, going through the steps in Big Book versus the many ways that I went through the steps in the previous 20 years, I found out how much I missed and how important the details are in our literature. You know, I had a huge issue with your conception of God. I had a huge prejudice against organized religion. I did not want to hear it. I had my own version of God, thank you very much. I did not and do not care to have somebody tell me who God is. And thank you for the guys that wrote this book, that they put we agnostics in there. When we speak of God, we mean your own conception of God. Never in our book does anywhere in there tell us who God is. It gives us a pathway to find him. So, I start going through the steps, and I get pissed off at all the previous sponsors I had. You know? Why weren't y'all telling me this? You know? Really? I'd been to workshops, and I mean, holy cow. Never knew there was a turnaround. A turn of what? My fourth column up to Big Book was, in a general way, what my part was. And a lot of times, my part was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know? Unlucky. Victim of circumstances. You know. And that's doing the best that I could with what I had to work with. And I believe we all get here with that. We're doing the best we can with what we got to work with. And so I was getting the best that I could get. And now I get the best that we can get. So I realized that my idea of God mattered, still does. That where I find God is right where the book tells me. I could finally look deep down inside. And what I needed to do was just clear out the stuff that was blocking me. I quit looking out here for God. I quit looking out here for help doing the things that I could do for myself. And I started clearing out that stuff, the pissed off at my parents and how I was raised and how my life had turned out and how my relationship with my son was and all of these things that were blocking me. And as this stuff started to leave, especially after step five, and I got to see, the mistakes that I was making in my thinking, how my dishonesty to myself was keeping me from really recognizing what was real. And what alcoholism really is, this distortion of reality. And yet it feels so real, you know? Are you sure this isn't what's going on? And so I got to see that my parents had done the best they could with what they had to work with. Like I said, alcoholism runs pretty deep in my family. They couldn't have brought any more to the table than they had. And so I got to see that that bar that I had set for my dad, remember, my son's 14. Now I got to at least meet that bar that I was judging him by. And so it allowed me to get right-sized. I met Nikki about that time. It wasn't a 13th step. She was 5 years sober, you know. Incarcerated, but she was 5 years sober. God was keeping her own eyes for me. And I was ready. So, you know, as I learned more and more about, you know, what my part was and what is my responsibility and what I need to do if I want to stay sane sober, that I had some work to do. And I need to keep doing that, because my default is to go back to my old thinking, and I constantly have to confront it with, where am I being dishonest here? What's the truth? And thank God for just the recurring answers that seem to be the answers for everything. And that keeps me in this process. In 10, 11, and 12, I'm so grateful that, I don't know if it's current or if it happens in Big Book all over, about the country, but I know it happens for us. It's a 15-week cycle. The meetings are, right? And so every 15 weeks, I get to meet my downfall, which is step 10. And that was probably one of the biggest mistakes that I made in my sobriety that allowed me to get as crazy as I did. You know, how do I continue? You know, we're headed for trouble if we don't. And I got to see the results of that, and gives me a huge reminder of what I need to be doing. So this next part, I don't think I got much time left, so I'm going to run through it pretty quick, is the what it's like now, what I'm like now. I think I'm fairly sane, you know. I still get irate driving. I think I have a right to, you know. You know, I take responsibility for what I'm thinking and how I'm acting, though. You know, I realize it's me, and I have a choice. But a lot has changed in my life from 5, 6 years ago. You know, I never, ever thought I'd marry again. And still didn't up until recently. Oh, I chased her till she caught me. We went up to Washington, D.C. For Nikki to speak at this other organization, the horse rescue presentation that for a fundraiser, and she was asked to speak there. There was this woman there, she was so drunk, bless her heart. It was an open bar and she was participating heavily. And she told Nikki, "You're way too young and pretty for that old man." Oh, God. You know, oh. Thank God I don't have that self-esteem that I used to have. You know, I'd have been terrified. So anyway, you know, my son actually grew up and graduated high school. 2 weeks later, this is all really good stuff, which is why I get like this. So 2 weeks after he graduated, He went off to boot camp at Parris Island. From what I understand, the Marine Corps boot camp is about as tough as it gets. And this was his choice. And Nikki and I went to his graduation in September. And to go and visit Parris Island, with the privilege of having a child there, it restored my respect in our youth. You go down any sidewalk street in any major city, and it was easy for me to get discouraged. I mean, I want to tell them all to pull your pants up, you know? Take the headphones off. Quit looking at your phone. And I saw a bunch of young men and women really getting it on, you know? So he's in Okinawa now. I just found out that his leave has been approved for him to come home and be there. When he gains a stepmom. And you know, I just can't say enough about this program. To take people through this process in a way that I know will not put them in a position that I was in before I got to Big Book. It's such a privilege. Cannot give away something you haven't got. So if you're writing or reading or listening, please, man, keep going. Because it's not, I tell this to the people that I'm sponsoring when they go, well, why do I got to do it this way? Why do I got to do it this way? Because it's not just about you. It's also about learning how to take somebody else through. Thank you.
Let's give a round of applause to all three of our speakers. So the seventh tradition has been passed, and now Edith is going to come up here and read for us.
Hi, everybody. I'm Edith. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a codependent. I'm a sex and love addict. I'm a dating spending addict. And what else am I?
Electronics.
Oh, electronics. I can use electronics addictively. There's one more. Anyway, more is being revealed. That's all I'll say about that. Okay. Hey, everybody. So grateful for this program and glad to be here. And thank you to our speakers. I'm a fabulous job. A vision for you. This is pages 162 to 164 in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And thus we grow, and so can you, though you be but one man with this book in your hand. We believe and hope it contains all you will need to begin. We know what you're thinking. You're saying to yourself, I'm jittery and alone. I couldn't do that. But you can. You forget that you have just now tapped a source of power much greater than yourself. To duplicate with such backing what we have accomplished is only a matter of willingness, patience, and labor. Still, you may say, but I will not have the benefit of contact with you who wrote this book. We cannot be sure. God will determine that, so you must remember that your real reliance is always upon Him. He will show you how to create the fellowship you crave. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship to Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God, Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you. And then this is the best part. Let's circle up and say the Lord's Prayer.